It's time for ESPN Las Vegas legal insider Justin Watkins with Battleborn Injury Lawyers, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, here we go. 4 o'clock hour. We're on in Reno in Northern Nevada. It's brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. Got it out 775 in the north. Justin Watkins here at the Battleborn Broadcast Center. Alex White is with us as well. We got a lot of football to get into. We got to get into some of the documentary football stuff. But you know what? Can I start with something that's right up your alley? I wanted to talk car insurance with you. Insurance in general.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, well, I brought my insurance information for my cars, my family's cars, right? So you can do a review. So I'm curious to see what you think about my coverage. If I'm paying too much, I don't have the right coverage. So you guys do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that's going to help me.
Yes.
My rates have gone up a lot. So that's my question. But I'll tell you what. There's been something that's been real viral. Going back to May, there were some hearings with some of these CEOs from the insurance companies. And I've not always been the biggest fan of Missouri's Josh Hawley. I think there's some things he does that are performative. But, hey, whatever he's doing this for, maybe it's for the good of the people of Missouri. That would be nice, right, if that was the motive. He really went at some of the CEOs. And I thought he brought up some really good cases. I wanted to play a piece of audio here as he's going at, I think this is the CEO of Allstate, and this is on, I want to talk about information that they asked for, because I kind of think they overstep, but here's Josh Hawley, senator out of Missouri, talking to one of the CEOs from one of these powerhouse insurance companies.
I mean, I've got your privacy statement right here. It says that without their consent, you can't share their information. You're about to sell it.
Senator, that consent is, you know, essentially for, you know,
not real.
Not share for research purposes, and we are not selling it for research purposes.
Ah, so when you tell the consumer, give us your personal information and we'll take money from you, and we won't give it to anybody without your consent, it's not real.
Yeah, and you can hear the CEOs like, homina, homina, homina.
Yep.
I feel like there's a lot of line crossing with insurance companies and what they're asking for and then what they're doing with it. I also saw a clip where he was asking, like, why do you need to know someone's birth date and their age? He's like, it seems like you are prejudicial against young people. Like, why is a 35-year-old paying one rate, 25-year-old paying another?
I mean, obviously, I could talk about this topic for like hours, and everybody will just start by saying, oh, you're a personal injury attorney, so you're biased. Okay. Or I'm exposed to a lot of this
more
on a daily basis,
yeah.
Right? And I tell people all the time when they come in, and they almost without fail, people come in and are like, I'm not a legit litigious person. I'm trying to do this on my own, but I feel like the insurance company is blowing me off or treating me wrong or calling me a liar or whatever it may be. And I say the same thing every time. If insurance companies treated people like humans, I wouldn't have a job. They have successfully run a program by which they have demonized, like, the attorney industry, the political aspects of global warming they've used to their benefit to say that, all this other stuff is because of other people. The poor insurance companies are not going to be able to provide coverage for you guys unless action is taken. And the reality is the profit margins that exist in these insurance companies over the last 20 years have skyrocketed. And we have a real example here in Nevada. I mean, of course, you know, fire insurance is a whole other thing. Up north right now, trying to get fire insurance is like nearly impossible. But let's use a real world example. 20 years ago, UMC had a hard time getting insurance to cover for medical malpractice. And the insurance industry said, we're going to leave Nevada because it's not profitable, because these dirty attorneys are getting all of this money. And they called a special session, they put it on the ballot, and they limited their exposure on medical malpractice. And then all the insurance companies said, okay, that's fine, now we'll stay. The profit margins in the and the idea was, we're going to give all of that savings. We can lower our premiums now, mm-hmm. and we're going to pass that savings on to the doctors, so the doctors will stay here in Nevada. Literally, the campaign was, keep our doctors in Nevada. Coden. In that 20 years, not only have premiums never gone down, not once, they've skyrocketed, and these very insurance companies' profit margins on medical malpractice insurance is, on average, in the last 20 years, 55%, and in some years, over 90%. So they demonize, they politicize, they point fingers the other way, and they scare the heck out of everybody saying, and you won't have insurance. Then what? And people freak out, politicians freak out, and they capitulate because they don't want their people to not have insurance. And very rarely, if ever, do the politicians stand up and say, wait a minute, you're going to walk away from a $1 trillion industry where your profit margins are somewhere between 10 and 20%? That's not good enough for you? You're going to walk away from that if you don't get exactly what you want? And so good on Holly here. Like, because in that hearing, he went even further. He's like, hey, CEO's making $26 million a year, but you can't give this lady, we had this lady testify that you only valued her claim at $50,000 when every other independent assessor had it at $500,000. You can't do that. You can't pay her claim rightfully. So, I mean, again, I could talk for hours about this, but I would just say every single year, you should not renew just automatically. You should always shop around your insurance. The auto renewals, I've been with this company for 25 years. You don't get the benefit of that. All that means is that they've been auto-renewing you and jacking up your rates without you
Which is exactly why I brought myself in.
Yep.
Because I've done it, and it finally hit both of us, myself and the SO. We're like, what is happening? We're old!
Yeah.
Why is this happening? And there's no loyalty coming the other way, so why would you be loyal?
No. It does not pay to be loyal. You don't get better claims representation for being loyal. You don't get lower rates for being loyal. So, you know, frankly, every single year, always shop around. You don't have to take an increase in insurance premiums as a given, that it has to happen. Oftentimes, once you shop around, and then, like I said, call us if you don't know what kind of insurance coverage you
should. I can't even read this thing anymore. I looked at it last night. I'm like, what is this? What am I being charged for here?
You know what's crazy is oftentimes, obviously, people have been hurt or been in an accident or been in a situation when they come talk to me, and then they think they have, quote unquote, full coverage. And I'm like, no, that's not what you have here. You don't have coverage for this. If that person's uninsured, you're not covered. You don't have this. You don't have this. You don't have this. And they're like, why didn't my broker tell me any of that? It's like, because they're selling a product. They're not selling a service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why. Because brokers get better commissions on different types of coverages than they do on the maybe the coverage that's best for you. So oftentimes when that happens, we will call their broker together from my office and say, we don't need this coverage. We want this coverage. We want to spread it around this way. Redo their stuff right now.
Justin Watkins, Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Okay. You're a better. This is a pro right here now. It's White. She's won contest. She's in the Circa Invitational. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Matt Heumann's down at Circa. Puts out a nice list of preseason over-under wins. Last year, he got challenged by several people. Chargers, I think, was one of the teams, and he went back at the person and was like, here it is. Here's the record of it. Like, all right, I don't know where that is. It's right here. So here it is. But I wanted you guys to grade some of these bets. We like Matt a lot. He does a good job. And for me, anyone, and this is why I love the fact that Alex is in the Circa Invitational, those are public picks. So when college football expert Brett McMurphy sucks, you get to see it, right? And I point him out all the time because he's a scoop stealer from Adam Hill, which annoys me. And let's see how he does this year because I think he's in it again. So good luck, brother. Okay, some NFL plays. We'll start with Alex. This is what Heumann says. Bears under 8.5, and he's going to pay the juice at minus 135. Bears under.
I'm good with that. I have them going 7-10.
Ooh. Okay, is this a bet you made?
No.
Okay, 7-10.
Griffin
right now is grabbing the table.
Maybe 8.
It's got to be 9.
7-10.
Yeah, so I'm okay with the under.
I was just telling you when we came in here, I watched Hard Knocks, which is, I find the Bills incredibly boring. The best part about this last episode was the Bears.
Yeah.
Aspect of it.
How good was that?
I'm taking the Bears. Go. I'm taking the Bears over. Give me the Bears over. Push. That's right.
I think that the Lions are going to slide back. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that the loss of both of these coordinators is something you just sneeze at. And I think that gives the Bears an opportunity. We had Sam Panayotovic on yesterday. He loves the Vikings. I don't love the Vikings. And listen, they play a lot more games than just in the division. So I will have a slight lean on the over, you wanted to say?
I just want to push back on that a little bit because I've heard this, so make it make sense to me. Brand new head coach in Ben Johnson brings in his own coordinators, and people are high on the Bears. Dan Campbell has done an excellent job. That roster is good from top to bottom. They had so many injuries on the defensive side last year. They don't have Aaron Glenn, so that could hurt. But they found ways to win games. I don't get it. It's
Justin, do you want to retort? Because I can.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would say this. Like, Dan Campbell doesn't call plays. You know, he's just the emotional leader of and the fourth down, go for it guy.
All the time.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he's the analytics guy at, you know, when he's not just cheerleading in the locker room, which makes for great Hard Knocks as compared to Sean McDermott, who does not make great speeches. So you lose both your coordinators, you lose the ones who are calling plays, unless Jared Goff is a guy who can pick up exactly where Ben Johnson left off and say, hey, I know what he was doing. I can still channel that energy. Then you gotta think there's gonna be a falling off from the Bears. Can't get much worse, right? And I think there was a lot of hype going into that last preseason, seeing Caleb Williams get rid of the ball quickly, stay in the pocket, not run around. Maybe you're seeing some influence of Johnson on Caleb Williams. I don't know. I mean, I'm not super high on Williams, but I do think there's going to be some regression from the Lions.
Lions 15-2 a year ago. The total is 10.5. Matt is going with the under. Again, paying a price at -130. I think they will go less than 15-2. I don't know that they're going to win 10 or less. Where do you want to go on this?
Yeah, I have them like 11-12.
Okay.
Same. So that is a slight drop off, but I still have them double digits. I would take that over.
Okay. I'm real curious on this one. Giants over 5.5, and there's a small plus on it.
I'm over on the Giants. I'm high on the Giants.
I am too.
Wow. Okay.
But we have to. They have the toughest schedule, I think, of any team. It's pretty brutal. It's almost like when we just went through Florida's in the NFL form. So that's the only pushback. But I mean, that's right now, right? So halfway through the season, we'll be looking at some of these games like, oh, we thought this was going to be a tough stretch for them, and they got three easy ones. So I think they can get 6 wins.
I think their D-line is going to be awesome. They have a quarterback somewhere, right? So I don't think Russell Wilson is terrible. I like Jameis Winston, although they're probably wise if they can get something for him. From a quarterback desperate franchise, they can get a pick. But I do think Jackson Dart has upside. I also think Brian Daboll's an awesome coach. And you know what? You talk about the tough schedule. I'll tell you one part of the tough schedule that does not exist, the Cowboys. I can't wait to see the Giants play the Cowboys. The coaching gap between Brian Daboll and Brian Schottenheimer, who was never, not to be mean to the guy, but was never getting a head coaching job in the NFL, was never going to happen. I think Daboll is a really good coach.
I agree.
Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
You know, we were talking about some of the picks from Matt Eumanns down at former staffer with ESPN Las Vegas. Did a show for years, and he's down at Circa with VSiN. I want to remind everyone, Circa Millions, Circa Survivor, back, BAFO contest, massive, $21 million in guaranteed prizes, 2 different contests, Circa Millions, Circa Survivor, $1,000 to get into Circa Million. You pick 5 games against the spread. Cofield and Company is in. We are going to streamline what we do, but you're going to hate this part, because you guys are going to be the ones who help me pick. We're picking today. We're picking every Wednesday. When the number comes out, that's when we're picking. Because I was not efficient doing it last year. We had a lot of lag. So I think we're not going to get the best of the numbers all the time. But
All right, I'm in Survivor again. I'm ready.
Okay, so now we will be Cofield and Company. We'll be in Circa Million. So again, you pick five teams against the spread every week. A winner can take home $1 million. Survivor, same thing, $1,000, but $15 million guaranteed. It's easy, right? You pick one team straight up every week. It's not easy. That's it. You can't pick them again. Yeah. And then once you lose, if you can go 20-0 or be the last person standing, you win. But you got to get into a Circa Sportsbook now. Do it sooner than later. 2 o'clock, September 6th is the deadline. That's insane. Don't wait until then. Get on down to Circa Sports downtown or any Circa Sportsbook in the state of Nevada, including in Sparks and Reno with Legends Bay. Okay. I don't know if I've asked you. Do you do fantasy football or are you just betting, Alex?
No, I do fantasy football too.
Okay. Are you good?
Well,
she's
so
good.
She's good.
She hesitated. Yeah, she's good.
Exactly.
No, I'm really good in the regular season. Last year, I won two out of four, and then I lose in the first round of the playoffs.
I don't make the playoffs, so I just as Justin knows, I just draft vindictively. Yeah, and just try to stick it to other people, and then I'm usually sitting at 5-9 come playoff time.
I'm always trying to build a team for the playoffs. Like, I'll take people that are injured so that they'll be back on like week 8. I'm like, okay, I just gotta be 4-4. You know,
not this year. I'm saving money and bidding everyone up. No, you're not. A draft and stash.
No, as soon as you try to build everybody up and they stop bidding, you're like, oh.
I have a different strategy this time.
Oh,
my time might be limited. I'm not telling anyone that. My time might be limited.
Oh, my time's limited too.
I might be at UNLV practice when the draft is going on for a while. So I might not be able to bid early at all.
I'm going to be at my daughter's volleyball game, dude.
Oh, come on.
Dude, it's intense. You kidding me?
If I had known that, I should have. Are you crazy?
Well, no, but I got to film the highlights. You know, she checks in with me after. She, you know, there's a lot of responsibilities as a volleyball dad. You can't just show up. But yeah, she's going to have to know. It's like, sorry, fantasy. She's going to look up in the stands after a good play, and I'm going to be at the keyboard.
You'll be the one bidding poorly emotionally.
Yeah, exactly. I will.
I saw a guy on a highlight at a Cubs game in the bleachers with his laptop working the mouse on the bleacher. On the seat the other day, and the announcer even caught it. He's like, what is this guy doing? He's got to be fantasy football. Like, why so urgently do you need? And then the great thing was he's out in the sun, and I sometimes will work outside, and he's doing that whole, like, I can't see the glare. I'm like, come on, dude, you can't drive like that. You can use your phone.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys see the sheets, and you got to, you know, I don't know. He might have his cue up. Phone might be dead.
Oh, I hate using my phone. I got to have my laptop.
Yes.
The worst. To draft.
Okay, bad situation. I don't think it was a work. I don't think it was a fake video. There's a video that circulated for about 4 days. Fantasy Draft has that big board. They got the stickers.
Yeah.
And I guess they don't call out the name because the guy just walked up with a sticker. I guess that's the big drama. You put the sticker up. And I think it was the number 2 pick in the draft, Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
What was the problem there?
He didn't get Bijan.
He was supposed to get... Bijan Robinson, everyone's laughing at him.
Yeah.
I saw the question, is it the commissioner's responsibility to stop things?
Well, first off, okay.
Should you be benevolent or is it survival of the fittest?
Well, if, you know, I've been doing fantasy football for a long time now, and if that group is anything like my friends, and it looked a lot like it, that's just the start. Everybody's going to be hammered, doing all kinds of stupid stuff the whole time. So, there's going to be many foul-ups that need to be corrected along the way. And why are you still doing a draft board with the stickies and the sticker? Like, nah, man, let the dude get Bijan. I there's no way I would hold him to Brian Robinson Jr. No way.
The Kansas City League that we're in, what would happen?
They would fix it. They
you
would,
think?
Yes, I do.
I think it depends on who it is.
Well, if it's Adam Hill, then they're not fixing
they're
it.
Not doing it for Adam. I don't think they're doing it for me.
I don't.
There's another guy. I'm just throwing out names that no one knows. I think for the dude Archie, not going to happen. He's not getting a break.
I don't even think Archie would contest it. He'd be like, yeah, Brian Robinson. The experts have it wrong.
Does the money that goes into the league, does that matter too?
Yes.
If it's like a super high limit, then maybe there's not a lot of leeway. Like if you don't know what you're doing, you pick Brian over Bijan, then sorry, bro.
Yeah, but you saw the name.
Yeah.
Right? It didn't have first names.
Right.
It just had B, Robinson, and then there's a little junior. So it literally looks the same.
Like, bruh.
Yeah.
Instead of B.
No. So that's what I'm saying. If you're dealing in a draft that's stickers and a board, then it's pretty loose. You're not dealing with like the super regimented commissioners who are like, these are the rules. They're very clearly defined. If you miss it, you miss it. Right? Dude, but the draft, I've done one draft. I only do two leagues now. I used to be in like eight. I do two now. The draft I was in got suspended. It was all online for the first time in like 25 years. First time we got online. And backed up like four picks like three times just in the middle. And everybody's just like, whatever. They just...
I like that. Just chill.
Yeah.
Everyone chill. Are we all chill? I'm gonna get Alex on this first. Alex White, Cofield, Justin Watkins on this Wednesday. That Michigan penalty that Harbaugh and Sharon Moore and Connor Stallions, that penalty they got, which is a monetary fine and a bunch of show causes. No postseason ban. Are you cool?
I don't even know what the Harbaugh part is. Can you guys fill me in? Because I only saw the Michigan and all the money.
He had a show cause, which he already had 4 years, so he can't coach in college for four years. They're like, another 10!
Okay.
So he can't coach in college for 14. He's 64 years old. Who cares? And then most of the penalty was a monetary penalty, right. And a lot of it's based on postseason monies they get. Come on, Alex. This just says cheating's okay. It's worth it. Right?
I mean, yeah, I guess. But I don't know.
They don't lose anything. They lose some scholarships and some visits.
So you think the guys that are on the team now should be penalized?
No.
Okay.
What should have happened is they have a postseason ban for 2 years that starts next year. And every guy in the team this year can make a run in the playoffs. Ooh. And then after the year, hey, if you're a Michigan man and you're honorable, you stay. But guess what? They don't have to stay. They can all leave.
Ooh.
So I had a similar...
That should be the penalty. And the NCAA saying, it'd be unfair. Give everyone notice. Every single person. Sharon Moore can leave. Well, I'll tell you this, though. If he leaves, he really can't coach, which that's another bullcrap part of it. He's got a two-year show cause. That's it. You're done. No, instead, three-game suspension this year, one game next year. What do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Any punishment that's instituted has to weigh in favor of if you had a choice, you would rather not do the crime than have the punishment. Everybody who's at Michigan's like, yeah, worth it.
Yep.
Right? Got a national championship, $20 million, whatever, all of our coaches are gone. We got the natty.
If I told you right now, your head coach wins you a national championship at Oregon State, and donors will have to make up $30 million, or if they can't, your school will be dinged for a while monetarily for a championship.
In.
Yep. Me too.
In. So, like, that tells me it was not even close to the line. I had a similar approach of what I would have done. I think yours is actually better than mine because mine doesn't really think it out that far. But I would have immediately said, postseason ban for 5 years. Everybody on the roster is immediately open for a transfer portal.
Now.
They don't count towards the rosters of whatever school they go to.
Wow.
Just kill the program.
Yep. Death penalty, in essence, a death penalty. But
get a whole bunch of old walk-ons.
You get to live on life support.
Yep. You know? So then the kids can make a decision. You still have the money to pay them. The kids can still be paid, but they can't play in the postseason. What's that worth to them?
Well, what's the history of the NCAA riddled with? Selective persecution.
Oh, 100%.
They pick and choose how they want to treat people. And I don't blame, from 25 years ago now, USC people being pissed off because they got slammed.
Yep.
It's bull crap. But a lot of it's because the NCAA has no power. It would go to court. It would just be whatever. It's absurd. But Michigan showed cheat. Don't worry about any sort of cap with NIL. Just cheat, cheat, cheat. Do whatever you want.
Yeah. I mean, that's
no one can stop you.
Like, there's, again, if I'm any program and I look at that and I go, totally worth it.
Yep.
And everybody who's with us will think it's totally worth it.
364-1100. Let's give away some tickets to Pantera. The remaining members of Pantera are playing the heaviest tour of the summer. It's coming up in a couple of Fridays. T-Mobile Arena, AXS.com is where you can get your ticket. We got two tickets right now, 364-1100, 364-1100. All right. I want to break down the Big 12 real rapidly here, and then we'll close out with a little bit on that Big 10 playoff idea, mega playoff, which I don't know. There's some interest about it, but it's very restrictive. Farmageddon's going down in Dublin. So what are we going to do with this, Alex? Iowa State and K-State.
I like K-State.
What's the number?
I don't want to lay three, right? So I'm probably going to try and find a way to play them on the money line with a partner or something. So I like that side, though. I do think that they are slightly above Iowa State, even though Iowa State made a run, right, and was just in the Big 12 championship. But, yeah.
Okay. What are we going to bet for the winner of the Big 12? Because we can get as strong as 16-1, and we can go like seven deep, and Kansas is 16-1. It does have a shot.
This conference is so interesting, right? Because last year we saw Arizona State projected at the bottom. So it is always, you know, so deep. But I like the top two. And I really like Texas Tech. But we'll see if money can buy them a championship here.
Give me BYU 20-1.
Woo.
Really? With a true freshman quarterback.
That's right.
Who's wearing number 47.
47. I love it.
Do you just like the fact that he's Catholic? And that last year's quarterback was Jewish.
That's right.
It just mind blows everyone at a Warren school. That Bear Bachmeier is the guy wearing
the
number 47. By the way, Colorado 22-1.
Live from the Battleborn Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We got John Von Tobel coming up. Ion Sports Gambling. John, of course, doing the brand new Saturday Westgate show, 8 o'clock. It's part of the big blowout with the college football super contest. So he's coming up in less than 10 minutes. We talked to Sam Paniadovich yesterday, and he has Offensive Player of the Year in the NFL, Christian McCaffrey at 22-1. And you are considering taking C-Mac as your top pick in a fantasy football draft?
I am considering. If Saquon Barkley's not available, then I might just go.
You have number
CMC.
Three pick?
Yeah.
You don't want to go. I mean, at three, you're going to have Barkley, Bijan, or Ja'Marr Chase. One of those three is going to be available. You think CMC's above all three of those?
I mean, he's had a lot of time to rehab.
Because he's always really injured. Fresh. Of course he's got a lot of time.
He was the number one last year, and now he's like down to seven, so I don't know. Ja'Marr Chase, can he do that another year? And I'm kind of worried about the curse of being the number one.
I mean, I think it's Ja'Marr Chase is more of a sure thing to be a top five receiver than CMC is to be a top five running back. And I think there's eight running backs that could lead the league in rushing. So, you know, you've got that space at running back to make a selection. But when you're at three, you got one shot, right?
That's right, yeah.
And then they're gone. All the eight of those guys are going to be gone by the time it comes back around to you.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think you look at those three, and whichever one's left is who you go.
Well, especially, I mean, the Bengals aren't showing us anything to like on the defensive side, right? So,
Is it a PPR league?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going Ja'Marr Chase.
If he's available. There,
I mean, I would think in a PPR league, Ja'Marr Chase would probably be the first pick.
I think it's going to be Chase and Bijan Robinson.
Robinson?
Brian Robinson. Yeah.
We'll probably have
Saquon. Is that fine with everyone? Who's the other three?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on some people have like CeeDee Lamb right up there. It's Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, you know,
my league,
the first three picks were all receiver and it's a PPR. So
we got 90 seconds. Let's react to this Big Ten. Now the latest mega consolidation idea, and it's for a playoff with 28 teams, except that the plan calls for the Power Fours to get 24 of the 28. There would be one auto bid for the group of five. There's also at-larges. Okay, one of those automatically goes to Notre Dame, so that's 25 slots tied up. By the way, Pac-2, Pac-12, whatever it is, nothing. You're just lumped in with all the other group of fives.
We're just like everybody else.
I mean, I saw some people react to this, and it's like, come on, guys. This is getting ridiculous. 2018 playoff, and there's no access. there's even more, you know, limits to the access for the little guy. What are we doing here?
Right. I mean, I think if you're going to go to a 2018 playoff, what is there 10 conferences, 10 Division I conferences? I think it's 10. You got to let all 10 in. If they're competing at the Division I level.
So it'll be group of six now with the Pac-2 or Pac-12 when it starts up.
And then, so it's 10.
They're not letting all in. What are you, crazy? They're going to have to go to 32 or 36 teams.
No, but if you let in 10.
It'll be freaking a quarter of college football will get in.
If you let in 10, which is four of the Power Four already in that 10, right? So six non-Power Four
Let's not do math.
Then it's 22 Power Four teams that still get in. Like, if you go with the numbers that they're talking about, you're going to have teams in there with, like, losing records in the conference.
I mean, I like it. I root for a Big Ten school that I hope gets 7 wins. They have a chance to get in if they win 8. Seriously, they do.
To do what, though?
There'll be 7 Big Ten teams. I'm saying that is absurd.
Yeah, to
make money. That's what it is, to get a payout and maybe pull an upset.
Yeah,
maybe.
Watch them lose to Tulane in the first round.
That's not going to happen. Come on now. 766-1400 is the number at Battleborne Injury Lawyers. Justin Watkins, great job. We will see you next week. Alex sticks around. She's going to be here the rest of the show. JBT is on the way.
Live from the Battleborne Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, let's bring in John Von Toll. JBT, of course, the host of the JBT Saturday football preview show, 8 o'clock every week on Saturdays. That's why it's called Saturday Show, right? Mm-hmm. What's up, John?
Nothing much. Just chilling, you know, living life, feeling great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. You made our spot because you put out a nice graphic of 10 season bets. I like this. We're just going to follow this. This is some really good stuff. Nice job.
Well, here's the thing. I should warn you. I would assume one of those bets is the Eagles East, so I know exactly what we're talking about here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that
You have Eagles, Derrick Henry, then Dolphins, but... Oh no! What's going on? Are we discounting the Eagles bet? What happened?
No! So what that was over at VSiN, we did a thing where they put all of the VSiN hosts together. Funny enough, they said the 10 favorite VSiN hosts, but I think there's only 9 of us. So like, there's not really, like, you know, you can't really have like 10 favorites. But we did like a futures draft where there were stipulations. We had to take like 2 overs, 2 unders, 2 division winners. So I will say, while I like every one of these ones that we're about to go over, there was some strategy involved in the reasoning behind them. So it's not exactly, I see immense value here. Like, for example, the Eagles, I had the first overall pick, and we had to have 2 division winners. Well, you're only going to get 8 division winners overall. I needed, for the strategy of the contest, at least 1 division winner that I felt comfortable with, and that's why I used the Eagles for the first pick.
Okay. Well, we'll go with the rest of the list, and if you don't like it that much, you can say that. Number 2, you have Derrick Henry, rushing yard leader in the NFL at 4-1.
I do like that a lot, actually, and I think there's a couple of reasons. First off, I'm not so much anti-Saquon Barkley as I am willing to play against a guy who had a career year like Barkley just did. If you look at it across the board in terms of snaps played, rushing attempts, yards per carry after contact, like all sorts of different metrics, Saquon Barkley had a massive career year last year, and I'm willing to go against that in many different ways. And I think in something like this, where it's a contest where we had to draft a stat leader, or just in general going against Barkley in any form or fashion, I think is worth looking at in that regard. So I think Henry has shown the longevity, unlike Barkley. He's in a system that is going to help him out a ton. Obviously, that offensive line, we'll see. And we'll see what happens with Lamar Jackson. Obviously, we got the news today that he left practice early, hand-wrist injury. And so if, God forbid, he's injured, then all of a sudden you're looking at, I think, an even heavier dose of Derrick Henry. But I think overall, looking at Henry in that case, to be your league rushing leader at a nice 4-1 price, I don't feel bad about that play at all.
John, let's go to your next one on here with the Dolphins. And you're going under on their win total, kind of correlated with your last pick here. So you like one team in the AFC East and kind of fading the other.
Yeah, so this one, I for sure like really like this a lot. This is one of the win total bets that I've made. And for the audience, too, Usually with win totals, we actually have one of my colleagues here, Adam Burke, writes about this every year in our NFL guide. It's actually a really great tidbit for anybody who wants to go out and add some win totals. You know, generally for the NFL, you will exceed or fall below your win total on a given year by a couple of games. So it actually benefits you as a bettor to go out there and bet some of these alternate win totals, whether it be over if you like a team or under if you don't like a team. And I don't like Miami at all. I think Miami is the potential to really bottom out. I know that, Steve, you're not big on Mike McDaniel and what he is bringing to the table as a leader. I think that's something that could really not really work against him. We're kind of seeing the cracks in the armor there with the whole dynamic with Tyreek Hill. Their defense is going to be abysmal. Their secondary is completely different from last year. It's very beat up. It's very injured. They're very much relying on some key guys at edge rusher outside of Chop Robinson, a second-year player, to come back from some very serious low injuries and produce for them. I think this defense is going to be very, very bad. And on offense, you know, we don't know, and we have not seen whether Tua Tagovailoa can string together a healthy season. And if and when he does get injured, there is not a backup quarterback on this roster that I trust. And I don't trust McDaniel to put together a season in which he gets competent backup quarterback play. And I think that's a very big knock on his resume, because every time Tua has gone down, the quarterback play has fallen off a cliff. And you could sit there and say, hey, backups, it's a backup, you shouldn't hold it against him. I saw Matt LaFleur work wonders with Malik Willis for a couple of games last year and do a great job. And our guy out there in Miami has not been able to do that. I think there's a chance not only Miami only wins about six games or fewer, I think they're the dark horse for fewest wins in the NFL next year, or this year, I should say.
Let's go to Brock Bowers here. Raiders fans are going to like this one. Of course, broke some rookie records last year. What's your bet with Bowers?
Dude, this one is one of my favorites for the season. How are we not? So you're laying, I think it was $1.20, maybe even if that, on over 1,500 yards receiving for Brock Bowers. One you could argue is the best, not tight end, pass catcher in the National Football League, who's going to get, I would think, a much better quarterback play this year with Geno Smith. I also think this ties into the Raiders defensively. I don't know what you guys feel about them. I think they're going to be very poor defensively, especially on the back end. I think they're going to be throwing themselves back into a lot of games. I think they're going to have to throw the ball, and I think that really benefits Brock Bowers. I think this offense has the chance to be good. I understand the dynamic of, hey, we want to run the ball, but guess what? If you're trailing, if your defense is giving up points, if you're getting in a bunch of these shootouts, you don't really get to play the ball control aspect of offense, and I think that's really going to benefit Brock Bowers. So give me over 1,500 receiving yards for Brock Bowers after he had 1,100 with some really bad quarterback play last year.
Curious if this next guy, kind of the same mentality here with not the best defense in the Jaguars, Brian Thomas Jr., that is Brian Thomas Jr., leading the league in receiving yards.
I'm just a big BTJ guy. I think he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. I think if you look at what Liam Cohen can do with this offense, what Cohen's done with revitalizing quarterback careers, not just Baker Mayfield, but some others along his different stops, I think he's going to turn this offense around in a really big way. And I think from a pure skill set standpoint, Brian Thomas Jr. is one of the better wide receivers in the NFL, or at least trending in that direction. So if I'm right and this offense really takes off, if Lawrence really starts to show it, the odds and the probability that Brian Thomas Jr. is your league leader in terms of receiving yards, I think becomes a little bit higher. Obviously, it's 13-1 for a reason. In our little draft, it was actually the longest shot that was taken was me at 13-1 for him to lead the league in receiving yards. But again, I mean, look, Justin Jefferson's been dealing with a soft tissue injury at the beginning of the year. That's never really a good sign when you're talking about starting from that aspect. He's got a new quarterback as well. We know about the dynamic between Joe Burrow and Chase, but I'll take 13-1 on a rising star and a new offense that I think could be very explosive to lead the league in receiving yards.
Halfway through this list of some of your futures here, curious your thoughts overall with the Jags, because I was looking through some of your hosts, and some of them actually picked them to win the AFC South.
Yeah, so that was stolen from me, actually. I like the Jags to win the AFC South. I bet them myself personally at 3-1. You can find them in that 3-10 range to win the AFC South. You know, it's twofold. It's everything that I just said about Jacksonville and their offense. It's also anti-Houston. I don't think the Texans are going to be a team that should be priced the way they are. Their offensive line was among the worst in the NFL last year in terms of pressures allowed. They got worse, arguably, on paper with the offseason moves or lack thereof. that went transpired in the offseason for Houston. Their running back position all of a sudden is a mess, guys, right? Like, you look at Joe Mixon dealing with an injury. You have Nick Chubb, who I've talked to people out in Cleveland who have said, dude, he is not the same guy. Like, we saw that at the end of the tenure out here in Cleveland, and we know it's a name, but it's nowhere near the same in terms of what you see on the field. And if that's the case, if they're giving up quarterback pressures, if they can't run the football, and this offense, which is breaking in some new wide receivers, specifically on the back end, some rookies, I think this has the chance to be an offense that is very mundane. And if that's the case, then this AFC South becomes wide open. I think that does include the Colts, by the way, who just announced a new starting quarterback. But I think the value play, if you will, by my measure, is betting the Jags at just over 3-1 to win the AFC South. I do like them a lot.
And we will get to the Colts news. So that goes to 6. You bet the Texans, or you pick the Texans on this draft. Texans under 8.5. Let's go to the next one, though, because it's a big one. The Chiefs have won this division 9 years in a row. I believe it's been 10 since the Broncos won. And you're picking somebody to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs here.
Now, this is the pick. This is why I stipulated to you guys that this was a draft. This was the back end of the draft where I needed a second division winner, and it was slim pickings on the board. But I will say this, and this was my logic here. Of the longest shots that logically you could find your way to winning a division, I guess it would be the Chargers because of the way that Harbaugh coaches and raises a floor of a team. Having said that, the offensive line looks really, really poor now, obviously, with Slater getting injured. I don't know if this team's going to be very explosive on offense. You know, the ground-and-pound mentality that Harbaugh brings, I think that worked back in the mid-2010s, early 2010s. I don't know about today's day and age in the National Football League. We'll see if that's actually the case. And I think defensively, this was a team that if you go back last year, Alex, look at their offensive opponents that they faced. They were not facing very good offenses last year. And I think that there's some fraudulence, if you will, to some of the overall defensive numbers that the Chargers brought from 2024. I think there's a real chance that they do take a step back defensively or closer to average. And then if we're right about the offense, then you're in trouble here. So I don't really love this one. This is more of a strategy selection than anything else. But I think of the longer shots, it at least logically makes sense that Harbaugh would get the most out of a team and get them to win a division.
John Von Tobel is with us. Of course, he hosts down at Westgate with his JBT Saturday football preview show, 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings. Okay, clearly you're watching Hard Knocks. They're getting the push here. The Bills over 13.5 wins?
Yeah, so first off, I don't think there's many universes in which this team does not win this division, right? Like, I think that when you look at the way this plays out, even if I tell you that at some point Josh Allen gets injured, I think there's a shot they can still win this with Mitch Trubisky, depending on when Allen gets hurt, right? So I think that this is a team that could beat up on a division that is ripe for the picking for a team of this power level, if you have this power rating. Again, to the point of strategy, we needed to take two overs, and to the thought of, hey, if you're going to go over a win total, you usually go over it by a couple of wins. So looking at Josh Allen and the Bills, really making a push again for a top overall seed, for a bye, to get into that second round, knowing how this has gone, looking around at the AFC as a whole and realizing how important it could be for teams to come and see you and your shortcomings, I think it means a lot for this team to potentially win as many games as possible. So I went over on the alternate win total there.
John, tell people what you got planned for these Saturday shows.
I'm really looking forward to it. Now that we have another college football contest in the mix with the guys over at the Westgate, I'm very excited to be a part of that, to present it, to look forward to every single one of these contest plays. Hopefully we'll have some updates on some of the numbers and what it looks like from an entry standpoint as we head into the Saturday games. Obviously, maybe getting some of the college football handicappers that are part of the contest. I've talked to a couple already, like Chris the Bear Felica and others who might be joining us throughout the weekends as well as we get ready for it. So really looking forward to kind of flexing the muscles from a college football standpoint. I know every Sunday I've been lucky enough to do the show from the Westgate for the NFL, but I do like college. In fact, Brett McMurphy walked up to me the other day and said, I didn't know you did college. And I said, Brett, I do it all. So I'm very much looking forward to doing some college football stuff as well.
I'm guessing Brett was like, please make my picks for me in the Circa Invitational.
No, although I think last year at one point he did ask me for a pick because he was about to get eliminated. And so he just like needed it. And I think the one I gave him won, but he still got eliminated that week.
He's been taking a beating on the show for how he finished last year and then the scoop stealing from Adam Hill. And then Adam looked over at a recent shindig and you were really palling up with Brett McMurphy. And I don't know, man. Loyalties are in question right now.
Brett, to be fair, because I know he's definitely not listening to this, would not leave me alone. So.
Oh, he does seem to like you. Well, take that as a compliment, right? Let's look on the media chart of rising and falling. Brett McMurphy, up. Here's Cofield. There you go, off the cliff. Adam Hill, kind of plateaued. So, I'll be honest. I can be self-deprecating on that front. It's good to have friends who are on the rise.
That's right. That's right. I mean, look, man, I'm trying to make sure that my irons are still hot in all these fires.
You got
to
have them in all the fires. Yes. Yep. Yes. All right, John. We'll talk to you, buddy.
All right. See you guys.
There he is, John Von Tobel. Yeah, that Westgate Super Contest that they have for college football. Contestants pick 7 college football games each week against the contest line, just like the Super Contest on the NFL side. Entry fee is just $500. You can go in 10 times. Entries accepted up until August 29th. So none of this NFL stuff. You got to get in pretty soon here. And the contest actually will begin a couple of days before that on August 27th. You are in, right?
I got to go sign up.
Yeah, you got to go sign up. You're great at college football.
I've got one more week. Yeah, I'm excited.
And I'm not doing this to take a dig. It's a new contest. So the likelihood that there's like 4,000 people in is, it's not going to happen. So it's going to be a smaller field.
It's on the rise. I think there might be 500 entries already.
Okay. So. All right. Well, yeah. If there's 1,000, yeah. I believe in you. You can do it.